Hello and welcome to the Fat Tail Investment Advisory. I'm Callum Newman. You may also know me as the editor of Australian Small Cap Investigator. That's my advisory where I chase down the best small caps on the Aussie market. Last week, we took a look at the property sector and some ideas there. This week, I want to talk a little bit about the US market. So we'll cover off on three things. A, is the US market too expensive? B, is it a bubble? And three, can it keep going higher? Now, you may not know this, but US stocks have had one of their best starts for the first 6 months of the year in decades, as far as I can recall. Now, that is a surprise to many, because if you go back to March, we had the US banking crisis, or what was perceived to be a banking crisis, that caused a wobble and certainly knocked the stuffing out of the Aussie stock market as well, and we went down into around March. Now, we've seen it, the US market since, when I say US market, I'll use the NASDAQ here, which is the tech-heavy index that generally is the leading index now for US stocks. It's up about 20% back then. And I remember sending out a note to my subscribers at the time, pointing out the fact that it was certainly possible. And one thing that would support the market would be the artificial intelligence trend, and I compared it back to the period 1995, when there'd been a similar setup in the markets with a rising interest rates and a banking scare, and that spooked everybody for a while, and then everybody went back to chasing what was then the hot new thing, which was the internet. But of course, there's always skeptics, and one of the ideas now is that, well, geez, you know, the big stocks like Facebook, Google, Amazon, Nvidia might be lifting the market, but the rest is a disaster, and the US is going to go into recession. So I just want to read you this introduction to an article that will become relevant in a second. So this is the quote: "Today, more than any time since the GFC, droves of market commentators, sell-side strategists, and well-respected fund managers are jumping on the bearish bandwagon, speaking of financial apocalypse. Yet equity markets continue to reach new highs. One favored measure of relative valuation by which the US stock market is judged to be in a bubble is the Shiller cyclically adjusted PE ratio, otherwise known as CAPE." End quote there. Now, the reason I bring that up is that quote is actually from 2016. And yet, I guarantee you that you could run that in an article today and nobody would blink an eye, because the US market is still perceived to be overvalued, and you still see the CAPE ratio there that was mentioned cited as one of the reasons that you should be wary of the US market. And if people really want to scare you, they'll say it hasn't been this high since 1929 and I can't remember off the top of my head, but probably 2000 before the tech bubble, i.e. the market's going to tank on you and you better watch out. Anyway, I've been reading about this CAPE ratio for 10 years, and the bears always point to it. And thus far, it still hasn't helped them call the crash, because the US market's have pretty much risen the entire time, except for 2022 and of course the COVID collapse. But they've all been fairly short drawdowns in the great scheme of things, and the upside since 2010 has been enormous. Anyway, my colleagues over at Stansbury Research took a look at the CAPE, actually, and it's a terrible ratio to cite in terms of a timing tool. And one of the points that they make is that the CAPE ratio has made the US market look like it's been overvalued for 25 years. And they wrote that a couple of years ago. So almost 30 years it's been leading people astray in some sense. And one of the reasons for that is it looks back 10 years, at 10 years worth of earnings, to try and smooth out the business cycle and get an idea of what's going on. Unfortunately, one of its inhibitions, for want of a better word, is it doesn't look at margins. And the facts of the matter are, for the last 10 years or so, US profit margins have been very, very high, historically high. And as of now, they're still very, very good. And again, one reason for that is the dominance of the tech sector, which just generally has higher margins and better capital efficiency than the old industrial economy of the 80s and 60s and 70s. So sometimes when you see these kind of metrics cited, they'll look back at different periods in terms of decades and go, oh, but look, US stocks should be about this in terms of whatever the measure is, the PE, the CAPE, what have you. But the fact of the matter is the economy has changed a lot in many different ways in that time. And so you have to be careful not just to tee off that one thing. Now, another criticism of the current rally in the US stock market is that the skeptics will say, well, it's really only the big tech stocks that are going up. The rest of the market is not doing anything. And in a sense, that's true. The big tech stocks have been driving the market in such. So I think they're now 30% of the S&P 500 in terms of the weighting that they're, because they've just risen so much. However, again, that's not to say that the market is going to go down. And some research I've seen suggests actually what happens is, so I should say, the bearish perception is that once the run in the big stocks runs out, that then the market will fall over. But another interpretation, which is just as valid and logical, is that the smaller stocks on the US market will begin to rally as they follow the big stocks up. And that's what I suspect will happen, and that's what history shows can happen and is most likely to happen. And one final point on the US market, again, to rebut this idea that somehow it's just a bubble or just momentum or an AI-driven sort of meme rally, we can also look for confirmation elsewhere. And we're seeing it. And the Financial Times just wrote an article about it saying that Japan, for example, stock market has been pushing up and is now trading into 30-year highs. Even Europe, where the news is not so flash, is doing pretty good. And the thing to note about Europe and Japan is they don't have the same lock on AI as well. So the fact that they're rising says it's more, what's driving stock markets now is more than just the trend of artificial intelligence. Otherwise, it would just be concentrated in the US. Well, why are stocks going up? Well, perhaps, in my opinion, one reason is that the market became too bearish last year and things are settling down and generally things are not as bad as what was perceived and priced in previously. But also, more importantly, one of the headwinds for stock markets last year was what's called liquidity. So the total amount of money sloshing around in the financial system was going down, and that's a headwind for the stock markets. There's a group called Cross Border Capital that tracked this as an index, and they came out earlier in the year and said, actually, liquidity is starting to rise again. And behind the scenes, even though the Fed is rumbling about raising interest rates still and the tightening cycle, is that they are juicing the markets with what they're doing and keeping the system liquid, as it were. And part of that was the banking crisis that we did saw in March. So to settle everybody down again, they've opened up the tap lines. And the guys at Cross Border Capital say that the Americans in this case were seeing what happened in Britain back in October. Now, you've probably forgotten all this if you even knew it already, but there was a big spook around September or October in the UK last year to do with their bond market, and it threatened the solvency of some of their pension funds, and the Bank of England bailed out their system as well. And so when the US banks blew up, the Fed sort of already had the playbook in hand to make sure that things didn't get out of hand. So that's part of the reason that the US markets are pushing up. I went on the record and said I thought that would happen. Unfortunately, I didn't make a buck out of it because I didn't back the US stock specifically on this trade as such. And I've been waiting for the Aussie market to rally in sympathy with the US, and it really, I mean, it's held up, but it's not firing in quite the same way. And again, we can say that there's value there. You know, it appears cheaper, if you like, than the US market, but investors would rather back the US shares at a higher multiple currently than the Aussie markets, which theoretically appear cheaper in terms of their valuation metrics. I think that'll change down the track. I certainly think there's big scope for the resource sector in Australia to really rally with stocks like BHP, Rio, Fortescue are still pumping out huge amounts of cash, and BHP, Rio have exposure to copper, which will, I'm sure, garner more attention around the world with the big funds looking to get exposure to that trend and that kind of thing. So I am positive about Aussie stocks, and I'm positive about US stocks, generally speaking. So I don't fear a sort of market meltdown. But I would emphasize today, if you do see an argument that US stocks are overvalued and due for a crash based off the CAPE ratio, the Robert Shiller CAPE ratio, I'm not saying it's totally invalid, but I'm just saying as a timing tool, its record is not very good, and it doesn't account for important factors like liquidity, margins, free cash flow, that type of thing relative to history. So you have to be very careful about what you're absorbing, if you like, and basing your investment decisions on. So for my mind, 2023 on the whole has been more positive, certainly more positive out of the US than 2022, and there's still heaps of opportunity out there. So that's my thought for the week. Really, thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe, hit the like button, etc., and I'll see you next week.